When you hear the word missionary, what kind of picture comes to your mind? Maybe a white-skinned American preaching to dark-skinned people in Africa, or a doctor working in a hospital in Haiti, or a young woman from Virginia teaching children in Indonesia, or somebody else working for God far away from home. And of course, you're right. All of those people are missionaries. But the word missionary can also be used for other people, many other people. Missionaries are not only special people working far away from home. Every follower of Christ is a missionary of Christ. The word missionary comes from a Latin word which means to send. It's related to other words like mission, a task that we're sent to do, or missile, an object that is sent forward. A missionary is a person who is sent by God to do God's work. Sent maybe to Haiti or Turkey or Africa, but maybe to Stanton or Waynesboro or Augusta County. If we are Christ followers, He sends us somewhere to do something. All of us are missionaries. On the first Easter Sunday evening, for the evening of the day Christ was risen, He came through closed doors to stand before His followers. Now, these people had been around Him during His ministry here on earth, but now He was preparing to leave them and to ascend back into heaven. And they would carry on His work. And so He said to them, "As the Father has sent Me, even so now I send you." As God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world to do God's work, so now Christ sends us into the world to do His work. Dr. Al Wynn, who was for many years a leader in the Presbyterian Church in the United States, told of a time when he was on vacation. And he was traveling through a town where several years before he had been pastor. And he knew that that church at that time was looking for a pastor. They had no pastor. And so he decided to stop unannounced and visit several of his friends. And he knocked on the door of the first house. And a woman came to the door and looked at him in astonishment. "How did you know?" she asked. "Know what?" he said. "I don't know anything. I was just passing through and decided to stop." "God has sent you here," she said. And she told him of a crisis that had happened in that family just hours before. And because Dr. Wynn was a former pastor, he was able to listen and talk with the family and to help them. God has sent you here. Now, probably many of us have had that kind of experience. They call it sometimes God's coincidences. Dramatic experiences in which we just happen to be the right person in the right place at the right time. But something tells us that it was more than just by chance that we were there. God had sent us there. And God sends us not only to those kind of dramatic experiences, but also to the common, ordinary experiences of our everyday lives. God sends us to them, and God expects us to be His agents in them. Toward the end of his long, multi-volume work, Church Dogmatics, Karl Barth, the leading 20th century theologian, asked, what makes a Christian a Christian? What is distinctive about being a Christian? How would you answer that? What is it about being a Christian that makes you different from the way you would be if you were not a Christian? Now, Barth looked at two traditional answers to that question. The first could be called the good works answer. Christians are different because they follow a certain standard of conduct. There are certain things they do and certain things they do not do. And there's a lot to be said for that answer. We are known for the fruit we bear. We are expected to follow the kind of life that is modeled on Jesus Christ. But there are also problems with that answer. It can lead to a holier-than-thou self-righteousness, which relies on our own goodness instead of the grace and power of God. And there are non-Christians who are outstanding morally, who do outstanding good works and build up their communities in the world, who outshine many Christians. So it's impossible to say that superior morality is the thing that makes Christians different. Now, the second traditional answer can be called the grace answer. A Christian is a person who has been forgiven by God. Through Christ's death on the cross, we are cleansed of our sin. And, of course, that's the answer that is given in many of the Christian creeds. But Karl Barth thought there were problems with that answer too. It can lead to a complacency and moral negligence. If God forgives our lack of action or our bad action, why should we try to do better? And even more disturbing, that answer seems selfish. Christ gives forgiveness, but it's only we Christians who receive it. Other people are left out. So then Barth turned to the Bible, and he saw that in the Bible, conversion to faith in Christ always involved the call to do something. When Christ says, "Come to me," he always adds, "And do the work that I will send you to do. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Go out and fish. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But then go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." To be a Christian is to be sent on mission by God. Christians see life as filled with the responsibilities and opportunities that God gives them. The thing that makes the Christian life distinctive is that we see that life as mission. When I taught in choirs classes and new members classes in churches where I was pastor, I always asked the members of those classes, how does your faith help you? Or how do you want it to help you? Now, how would you answer that question? What does your faith in God do for you? How does God help you? And I need to say first, maybe, that I was surprised that the two answers I thought would be at the top of people's list weren't. The first answer I expected to be at the top was, because I believe in God, I know that God has forgiven my sin and I'm cleansed of my sin and my guilt is taken away. And that answer was on almost everybody's list, but it wasn't at the top. And the second answer I expected to be at the top or near the top was, I know that I will have eternal life. I know that death will not be the end, that I will live with God forever. And that, again, was on almost everybody's list, but was not at the top. The answer that was at the top, more than any other answer, was, my faith helps me deal with hard times. God helps me get through the troubled times. He helps me deal with the tragedies and hardships and failures of my life. And the second answer, right behind the first one, was, my faith provides purpose for my life. It gives me a reason to live. And I think those two answers would be at the top for me. Probably the first answer would be dominant in, when I'm going through a rough time, when I'm having big troubles of one kind or another. And the second answer would be dominant in times like right now, when I don't have any real big problem to deal with and life is good. But it's the second one that we're talking about this morning. Our faith gives us a purpose for life. We have reason to live. We have meaning for our lives. We believe that our lives are part of God's plan for the world. We are agents of God's mission in the world. And each event in our lives is an opportunity to be part of God's plan. It's a mission opportunity. Now, where does God send us? Well, God sends us this morning to this church to worship. God sends us to this building to worship and study and serve. God sends us here to be strengthened, to strengthen others. He sends us here to work as teachers, choir members, elders, committee members, cooks, carpenters, the other things we do in our church-related tasks. But God sends us also out into the world, outside this building, to do God's work. On most Sundays, when I'm not substitute preaching somewhere like this, I worship at Lexington Presbyterian Church and go to Sunday school there. And on the exit doors in Lexington Presbyterian Church, of the educational building in that church, there's a sign that says, you are now entering the mission field. So that when you leave that educational building, at the front or back, you read that sign. You are now entering the mission field. Now, as I said in my children's sermon, today, Bethel Presbyterian Church gathers for worship and study in these buildings right here in Augusta County. But tomorrow morning at this time, Bethel Presbyterian Church will not be here in this building. Bethel Presbyterian Church will be in the offices and classrooms and stores and homes and other places in this area. Wherever a member of this church is, there Bethel Presbyterian Church will be located. And God sends us to those locations to build a better world. a world of faith and hope and love and justice. And God sends us into the world to do that kind of work for God in the kind of mission projects, the outreach to the community that are going to be displayed in the mission fair that will be, that many of us will see after worship today. Those kind of outreach projects that you do as a church. But God sends us also to serve others as individuals. God sends us to our jobs to make the most of opportunities to serve others on our jobs. God sends us to our families, to those whom we love most and who love us the most. God sends us to our friends, to those with whom we're bound in mutual support and love. God sends us to Stanton and Augusta County, to the communities where we live and work, to the opportunities and problems in this area, to its needs and the needs of its people, and especially to those who have the greatest need. God sends us to the 21st century and to the year 2014, a time of rapid change, complex confusion, a time when the church is in decline in this part of the world, a time when science and technology offer great promise and great peril, to a year of slow economic recovery in which many people are dealing with financial problems. God might have sent us to another area, to another time, to another job, to another family, but God sent us where we are. And God has placed us here to do God's work. Now, of course, God sometimes calls us to new places and new tasks. And we need to be open to God's call to us to do something new and different. But we need also to do God's work in the places where we will be this week. And wherever we are there on mission from God. We are there to accomplish God's will in those places. As God sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus sends us. The New Testament calls the church the body of Christ. The body of Christ. When Christ was here 2,000 years ago, he had a body like ours, a body of flesh and blood. But now, Christ has no body of flesh and blood. He's here as spirit. And we are his body. We are his hands, his lips, his feet. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead folks in the way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell them how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Now, I don't think that's entirely true. If we let Christ down, Christ will find somebody else, some other way to get his work done. Much of the work that we do for Christ can be done by others if we don't do it. But his work can be damaged by our inaction. And I bet everybody here, every one of us, can think of tasks that if we don't do that, it will not get done. And I bet that most of us can think of people that no one can befriend in the way we can befriend them. Nobody can talk to them or listen to them or understand them or do that certain thing to help them that we, as we can do it. If we do not spend time with them, then nobody else will. Now, Christ sends us to those tasks that others will do if we don't do them. But he sends us also to those tasks that no one can do but us. And God sends us to people that have other sources of help and support and love, and also to those friends, to those people who have no friend like us. During the Second World War, a village church in England was bombed and the building was destroyed, except for a beautiful statue of Christ that stood at the front of that church. And after the war, they rebuilt the church. And there was a sculptor nearby who said he could repair those hands of Christ in a way that you couldn't even tell that they had been smashed. And the church thought about that, and the people discussed it, and they decided, no, we don't want to do that. We are going to put that statue of Christ back in the front of the church where it was, without its hands, so that every time we look at that statue, we will be reminded that we are the hands of Christ here in this community. We are the hands of Christ in the communities where we worship and work and live. God sends us to those places to be God's missionaries, to do God's work.